Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We'll stop reading right there. As Gary was preaching Sunday night, this thought came to us. So in verse 1, it says that ye may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're not on the welfare system. If you accomplish anything, or if you're blessed, God expects you to work. And He will bless those that work for Him. We have the mentality, a lot of our people in our country today have the mentality that they're owed. We're owed hell.
Yes.
That's what we're owed. We should have been burning. But listen, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You're here by the mercy of the living God.
Amen.
It's by His mercies that we are not consumed.
That's right.
It's by His mercy that we're not laying up at Manus's in the funeral home tonight.
Yes.
It's by His mercy that we're not at the hospital in the emergency room. I thought as I read that yesterday about Faye, she probably, when she woke up yesterday morning, didn't think a thing about going to the emergency room. When Becky got sick and had to go to the doctor, she probably didn't think a thing a few hours beforehand about having to go. It's by His mercy that we are. I believe Paul said, it's by His grace that I am what I am. All right. So if we had a little thought, it would be present. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Has He given you more than you deserve?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but the night that I got saved, I didn't ask for money. I didn't ask for fame or for wealth or for fortune or for power or anything like that. I didn't ask for a nice home. Didn't ask for a new car. I just asked to be saved.
Amen.
And He did that to the uttermost.
Amen.
I'm saved.
Amen.
I may not know a whole lot in this life, and a lot of the things I thought I knew when I was younger, I found out I didn't know as much as I thought I did. But I know what happened when I got on my knees and asked Jesus to save my soul. That peace is still there.
Yes.
Though the world be raging, I have peace through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Though storms rage, hurricanes come, tornadoes blow by, I still have peace through the Lord. Through what He gave me whenever I was a little 8-year-old boy. He's blessed me with a family. He saved my family. He gave me a nice home to live in. He gave me a job to put food on my table and clothes on my back. He gave me a church to go to that loves the Lord and wants me to worship with them and welcomes me to worship with them, that prays for me and loves me and cares for me. He's given me a home in heaven when this life is over. I'd say that I've been blessed.
Yes.
What have I given Him in return? Present. Now this word, if you look it up in the dictionary, and you pray for me for just a few minutes. It's been a trying week this week, and I'm not making any excuses. But if you look this word up in the dictionary, it's got two different pronunciations. And it depends on which syllable you put the stress on, how you pronounce it. It can be present, or it can be present. And there are two different words with two different meanings. But let's just take a look at some folks that presented the Lord with some things. We can go all the way back to the beginning of the book, Genesis chapter 4, and we read about in the process of time that Abel presented an offering to the Lord. And it was the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. He gave the Lord the very best that he had, and then he gave him more. You know what the Lord wants from me and you? He wants our best.
Yes.
It does not matter what happened to me today or last week or the week before. It doesn't matter how I feel physically. I owe him my best. Why do you owe him your best, preacher? Why do I owe him my best, preacher? It's because God gave the best that he had for sinners like you and I. He didn't skimp. He didn't scrabble around to see somebody that might be good, that might live a good enough life. Like Job, he lived a perfect and upright man. He feared God and eschewed evil, and he made sacrifices just in case his children had sinned. He didn't say, "Well, that'll be good enough." He searched the heaven, the earth, and beneath the earth to find a sacrifice to pay the price for our sin. And when he had searched through it all, there was a lamb in the midst of the throne that said, "I'll go." Who was that? That was Jesus, the darling Son of God. He sent something he cared about. He sent something that he loved. He sent the best that heaven had to redeem us from our sin. And if he sent the best for us, I'd say we need to reciprocate. In other words, give back and give the very best we've got to God. Abel offered the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And Cain gave an offering also, didn't he? Which one are you? Cain gave of the fruit of the ground. The fruit of the ground. And God accepted Abel's offering. But he refused Cain's.
That's right.
Why? Where did Cain's offering come from? It came out of the ground. It came out of the dust.
There's no blood.
Came out of the old dust. And what is this made out of? Just a handful of dust. And without one event happening in Genesis, did you know there's not a bit of difference between us and the cow standing out there in the field? Without God does one thing, there's not a bit of difference between us and the fish that swim in the sea. Without God does one thing in Genesis, there's not a bit of difference between us and the fowls of the air. We're just a handful of dust, and that's all we'd ever be. But God breathed into man's nostrils, and man became a living soul. We have a soul, and the Lord knew we'd need redemption, and so he sent the best he had from heaven to redeem the likes of you and me. Just a handful of dust, just sinners, that's all we are. We can't make a claim, and I know you saw Philip's picture yesterday. It was cute, and I've done the same thing before, but you know what? And you might say, well, that was just a paper hat, and he's not related to any royalty. I beg your pardon. We may not look like much,
But we're a child of the King. We're part of a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people. And we are so special that God gave His only begotten Son to redeem us.
Amen.
So what are we going to give Him?
Praise the Lord.
He accepted Abel's sacrifice. He accepted Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's because it was from the dust of the earth. Well, that's a good Genesis story, preacher. That's a good Old Testament story. Now, wait just a minute. That book is a spiritual book.
That's right.
And everything in it, from the first verse in the first chapter of Genesis to the last verse in the last chapter of Revelations, can be read spiritually.
Yeah.
Friend, listen. You never will please God offering Him a fleshly sacrifice. You never will please God offering Him something that you do just because you want to do it. If the Spirit's not in it, you can't please God.
That's right.
Without the Spirit, you're none of His.
Right.
Now you pray on for a few minutes. I'd really like to get where the Lord would have me to be. Oh, to present. So these two men made a presentation before the Lord. We have folks today, as was mentioned earlier, that say they've been redeemed, that say they've received salvation. That on their testimony, some church somewhere has taken them in as a member and baptized them and considered them one of the Christians that will be going to heaven when this life is over. And yet, they never have a testimony. And yet, they never sang a song. Well, preacher, I don't have the voice to do that. I can't carry a tune in the bucket. You don't have to stand up here in front of a microphone to sing praises unto the Lord. The Scripture says, singing songs and making melody in your heart, you've got something worth singing about. You've been redeemed by the grace of God. You're not your own anymore. Your sins, I like that little song. You asked me why I'm happy. Well, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. I'm free. I'm not condemned anymore. That's worth singing about.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
That's good.
They can't sing a song. They can't read their Bible. They can't attend church. Their thoughts don't linger on God. What are they presenting? Present. All right, let's move right along. Let's go to the New Testament. Over in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about wise men came from the east. We've seen His star, they told Herod, in the east, and we've come to worship Him.
Amen.
I believe it took Herod by surprise a little bit. Because Herod wasn't presenting the right thing, was he? And notice in the Scripture, when Herod does find out about the newborn king, he doesn't go to worship. He said, you go, and when you find him, send me word that I may come and worship him also. To get to the king, you're going to have to make a move.
Amen.
To get to the king, I never have seen the Lord jerk up somebody by the hair of the head and drag them to the altar and save them. I never have seen anybody that got saved by accident. I never have seen anybody that got saved and didn't want to be saved. Let me tell you something. If you want to escape hell, the only way that you can get to Jesus is to make an effort.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Bless him, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
And it wasn't foolish men. It was wise men. Why were they wise? They were seeking Jesus.
Amen.
And I know crowd's a little low in number than it normally is. It's raining outside tonight. I know that. But young folks, you can't make a mistake trying to get to Jesus.
Amen.
You can't mess up. I don't care what you've done. You will make a mistake. It will happen. You'll do things you regret. You'll say things you regret. But don't quit. Don't sit down. Don't give in. Don't give up. Get to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Did you hear me, old folks? You like it when I preach at young folks stuff, don't you? That applies to you too.
That's right.
All right. For we've seen his star in the east. What were they following? The star, the light, right? The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Would you agree? This world's a dark place. When we celebrate sin, and we absolutely contradict God's word, things that he considers an abomination, a stink in the nostrils of God, and we say it's all right. I'd say we're living in a dark, dark world.
Amen.
Amen.
When murder's justified, when sin is okay and everything is all right except living for God, I'd say we're living in a dark world and in a dark time.
Amen.
So how are wise men going to get to Jesus in this day and age? The same way wise men got to Jesus on the day of his birth.
Amen.
They have to see a light. I know it's a dark time. I know it's a discouraging day. People will say anything to you. Hatred abounds. And people don't care anymore. Used to, if somebody thought it might hurt your feelings, they would bite their tongue to keep from telling you something maybe you actually needed to hear. But in this day and age, whether it's true or untrue, people will spew hatred with not one second thought about it. Oh, I'm telling you today, it's a dark day and a dark time. And if we ever needed a light to follow, if there are my people and your people, then let's just acknowledge it. Let's just say they're lost.
Amen.
If they ever needed a light to escape this dark, dark world, it's today. Well, preacher, I don't know what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. Ye are the light of the world. Listen to this. This is a promise. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. They can't lock us out. They may lock us out of this building, but they can't cease the church. They can't stop the church. They can't put us out. They can't put us away. Kings have tried it. Emperors have tried it. And yet the church still stands. And it'll be here when he sets, when the angel sets one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. Amen. And declares the time shall be no more. How do you know, preacher, that the church will still be here? The Bible says this. It says that I saw the dead arise. And us that were alive and remain, we're changed, and we rise to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
You want to argue and fuss about what will come to happen at end times? It don't matter as long as I'm with Jesus.
Amen.
Get over this religion stuff and let's celebrate salvation.
Amen.
You want to make sinners run? Argue about the book. Present. Oh. And they followed the star, didn't they? Until they came and it stood right over the place where he was born. That took some dedication. I don't know what kind of a night it was. But did you know not every night the sky is clear? Sometimes it's cloudy. Sometimes there's a million stars. And sometimes you can barely just see one. And don't you know, along the journey, there were things to get their attention, to distract them from following the star. You ever been distracted? I have. You can't sit there and tell me Jesus is always right in the forefront of your mind. Oh, I'm sure they met with a lot of distraction, but they kept their eyes on the star. It doesn't say that it was just a few feet down the road. It doesn't say that the journey was easy. In my mind, and from what I read about that part of the country, it was a dry desert place, arid, not a lot of water, maybe some hills and mountains to climb. But they kept their eye on the star and followed the star in a world of darkness. And listen, this is how important it was to them. They had a presentation to make. They had something to give. And I know the song that they sang, Barabbas. It says, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to give. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Yes, you do.
Bless him, Lord.
They followed the star until it came and stood right over where Jesus was born. And when they got there, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Monday might not have been your best day. Tuesday might have been kind of rough. And today, Satan might have just come by and tried his best just to get your mind all to pieces and stirred up. But you just had to keep following the star.
Amen. Me? Yeah. Bless you.
Now you're in the place.
Bless
in his presence. In his house. And it passes by. This is the place. When you pull in the parking lot, you ought to have joy in your heart. Just get to come and be in his presence.
Amen.
They rejoiced with great joy just to be at the place where he was at.
Yes.
And when they made their way inside and they saw him, they'd made a long journey. No doubt they was tired. Made a great sacrifice. When they got there, they didn't feel like they were owed anything. Imagine that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they worshiped him. They worshiped him. You're in the place where he's at. What are you going to do? Wise men worshiped him. What are you going to do? And then they made their presentation. They presented him with gold. Can't you just see it as we do
the pageant, the nativity pageant. We've had the Christmas plays here where we show the manger scene. Now I've seen them, they'll come in, they'll walk in carrying whatever they've got to offer, just as precious as they can. Careful as they can. They don't want to drop it. Mm-hmm. They don't want to break it. They carry it just as precious as they can, and they get down on a knee and they offer it to the King, making their presentation. Don't you think we should probably be about the same behavior? We should do the same thing when we come into His presence. Whatever we offer it, we are to offer it with worship and reverence and praise, thanking Him for His blessings and His mercy and His grace on sinners like you and I. I know that's pretty simple.
Bless you, Lord.
But sometimes that's the last thing on our mind.
Yeah.
You know what gold is? It's still valued in our world today. Frankincense and myrrh were preservatives that they used in that day. They were highly valued. Preacher, I just don't have nothing. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Raise your hand if you have something you're going to do tomorrow. I do. I could raise this one. I could raise a leg. Raise your hand if you got something you're going to do, someplace you got to be, somewhere you got to go. Shorty, you got something that you're planning on if the Lord graces you with another day. I don't know if your life is like mine, but I just don't have enough time in the day. Some days I just can't get it all done. And you know what I did? I took time to read today and pray some.
Mm-hmm.
And before I came over here, I brushed my teeth. I washed my hair. I changed and put new socks and shoes on. I cleaned up, took the time to look presentable to you all. The Lord didn't care as long as this was clean.
Amen.
Yeah.
I ought to take the time to clean this up, shouldn't I? You should too. Present. Preacher, I can't sing. It don't matter. I've told this before. Let me tell it again. You can give me another 10 minutes, surely. We used to have a fellow at Rankin whenever I went there. Grew up there. And he would get up to sing. And he would sing off key. And he'd get sing the chorus before the verse. He'd get the verses mixed up. He'd get the words mixed up. He wasn't somebody you were going to see on TV. But every once in a while he'd cry. He'd sing more about Jesus. I would know more of His grace to others show. And he'd sing and big tears would roll out his eyes and down his cheeks. No, he's never going to get a record deal. But he knew what he was singing about.
Amen.
Amen.
I'd rather have somebody that can't sing a lick and sing with the Spirit than to have somebody that hits all four notes of harmony and never misses a beat and never needs a breath. Without the Spirit, what good is it?
That's right.
What are you going to present? I can't sing, preacher. I'm not eloquent. of speech. Moses wouldn't either, and God made him a preacher anyway. Do you know that? And when Moses began to make excuses, he said, "Don't you have a brother?" He said, "I'm going to give Aaron to you, and he'll help you." This life is hard. And that's why I've got a brother.
Amen, buddy.
And a brother.
That's right. Amen.
And a brother. And a brother. And a sister. And a brother and a sister. You see, I don't have a natural brother, but I've got a whole lot of spiritual brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And if it hadn't been for their help and their prayers whenever I was really down and needed, I could have never made it this far. They helped me get in shape to make my presentation. Most of you has never stood right here. There's always a little fear. You ask these preachers. There's always a little fear. They asked me one year to make a presentation before every teacher in school system. And an end service. I got up, but I couldn't tell you my name. My knees knocked together. Scared me to death.
Bless him, Lord.
If you had to make a presentation at your job, at the PTA meeting, at the school board meeting, in front of some people, you would study, you would practice, you would prep, you'd do everything you could to get ready. You see, Cain's offering took very little effort. He took of the fruit of the ground. How are you going to present anything to the Lord if you're not ready? If you don't pray, if you don't read, if you don't dwell on His goodness, if you don't think about all the things He's blessed you with.
Amen.
I mean, we got to get our mind right before we can worship the Lord. Did you know
Amen.
That?
Amen.
That's why the disciples shut the doors. And Jesus didn't appear to them after the crucifixion until they got together and they shut the doors. I don't have anything. I beg your pardon. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies. Listen. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now let's just stop with your bodies for a minute. Well, I wouldn't hire a preacher, but my heart was with you. No, you wouldn't. You're lying. If you only sent your heart, there'd be blood all over the carpet. Because you can't pull your heart out of your chest and send it somewhere. Now, can you?
No.
That's not what it said. It didn't say that you present your heart. You present your bodies. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord?
Amen.
And it's not your own. You've been bought with a price.
Yes.
Present your bodies, and now here's the qualifiers. I can't drag an old dead carcass in here. I've tried that. It don't work. Eat up with sin. You come easing into church and sit down. Don't think God's going to pour it all over you.
Yeah.
Present your bodies a living Living. You know what I was before Jesus saved me? I was dead.
Amen.
Sinners that don't know Jesus, that have never received salvation, are wasting their time to get up and try to do anything for the Lord. But whenever I got saved, I was born again. Present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know what a sacrifice is? Sacrifice doesn't come out of your abundance. Sacrifice doesn't come out of something that you necessarily want to do. It may be something that you'd prefer to do other than sacrifice, but you do it because God asked you to. It may interfere with what you want to do between your ears, but if you'll do what God would ask you to do, He'll bless you abundantly.
Amen.
A living sacrifice. What's the next one? Holy. Well, preacher, I just can't live right now. That's wrong. Where's that at in the Bible? Be ye holy, for I am holy. Is that not what it says? Holy and acceptable. He accepted Abel's sacrifice. He rejected Cain's. To be acceptable to God, you have to come humble. To be acceptable to God, you have to present Him with something that's worthy. To be acceptable unto God, you have to deliver your present, or to present Him something, you have to deliver whatever it is on a clean vessel. He will not take it on a dirty vessel. Don't think that you can sing and you end up with sin. Don't think that you can preach and you've cussed a blue streak. Is that right, preachers?
Amen.
Don't think that you can commit adultery. And I've seen men of God ruin themselves. Throw their ministry away.
Yeah.
And come right back in. As if they're going to just continue right on. It don't work that way.
Amen.
It don't work that way. As a matter of fact, you want Bible? Let's get a little Bible. You better go read about David. Remember whenever he slept with Uriah's wife? Remember that? You know what happened to him? Well, preacher, he was still God's man. But the sword never left his home. He never had a day of peace the rest of his life. He was made a mockery and a public example to everybody in Israel. Well, God wasn't doing it. He did a man after his own heart that way.
That's right.
If he'd do David that way, he'd do me that way. He'd do you that way. Listen, friends. Holy and acceptable unto God. Well, preacher. Now, wait a minute. Don't well, preacher, me. Which is your reasonable service. So every day, I should be holy. Every day, I should present Him with something He can use. Now listen, your gift might not be the same. It might not be to teach. It might not be to preach. But we've narrowed it down. That's about the only three jobs that we're interested in. What's the scripture say? It talks about gathering together as the manner of some is. And then it goes on and it says, but exhorting one another. Do you know you can be an exhorter and not be a preacher? Sometimes we just need people to lift up the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need somebody to say, God's been good to me, has he?
Amen.
Then why are we so quiet?
That's right.
Been good to me.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need to hear somebody say, I love my church. Sometimes we just need to hear about how God has delivered you from evil. About how that, like David, I made mention of it before, and I'm going to try my best to hush in just a second. He lost 3 children. He was made a public example. He the sword never left his house. And yet he still said, Micah, runneth over. So you had a little trouble. Is God still in good to you? Yes, he has. All right. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So every day we should strive to be holy.
Amen.
Every day we should present God with something that's acceptable. You know your English? Acceptable. A-C-C-E-P-T-A-B-L-E. Not E-X-C-E-P-T-A-B-L-E. A-C-C means yes. Yes, that's what I want. EX, acceptable, means excluded, turned away, cast aside. Unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here I am today, God. Use me.
Amen.
Sometimes we look at things and we get so stressed about them. Mm-hmm. It may just be God's way of giving you an opportunity to let him use you.
Amen.
You know, the world thinks we're hateful. The world thinks we're ugly. And there are some folks that are religious that are that way. You know what they need? Salvation.
Amen.
As the old song says, makes me love everybody.
Amen.
All right. Presentable. What are you going to present the Lord? Preacher, we don't have service until Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You need to present him something tomorrow. Because tomorrow is a new day. And you don't have to be in the sanctuary in order to give him a present.
Amen.
What are you going to present? What are you going to give him? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I wish I could remember the rest of that, but you go home and you read it. That's some good scriptures in Psalms. All right. Present.